Thank you for tuning in to our online sermons. I'm Pastor Brandon Walters, and I pray this message will bless and encourage you today.
Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn once again with me to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 3. We're going to continue our study here this morning. I forgot to announce as well, choir has resumed, so make sure that you are a part of our choir practice right after the service this morning. And we look forward to just being a part of the Easter program that's upcoming. And it's hard to believe that Easter is little over a month away. And we are right there at March, I think it's the second week of April, if I remember right. So we look forward to all the things that are coming up. Obviously, we've got our egg hunts and stuff right around the corner. And so be on the lookout for those announcements here in the near future. Hosea chapter 3 is really, like I said a few moments ago, the theme of the book of Hosea. And this is probably the shortest chapter in the entire book, but without a doubt the most powerful chapter. And today I want to preach on this thought, the wonder of redeeming love. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 3, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley, and an half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee." Let's pray this morning. Lord, thanks so much for all that you've done. And Lord, we think of many that are out this week. There was sickness going around. We think of those that are currently away. Lord, we pray for them. And we think of our church family, and our heart is with them when they're hurting, when they're not well. And Lord, I pray that you just be with those. But today I pray that you bless the sermon. Be with those that may be tuning in over the live stream. Lord, if there be somebody here that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today they make that choice. Lord, I'm so thankful for the thought that you redeemed me. Lord, I'm so grateful. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to be a church that's always thankful for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. To understand the book of Hosea, one must understand the background against which it was written. And we'll kind of go over a little bit of review here in the introduction. But the book of Hosea, once again, it was written by the prophet Hosea. And if I haven't mentioned this already, Hosea's name literally means salvation. This book is literally a message of salvation to a spiritually bankrupt people. During the days of Hosea's ministry, Israel was a very prosperous nation, and they had materials that they were very prosperous in, and they enjoyed peace both politically and militarily, but they were morally bankrupt, as we've come to know the nation of Israel. Verse 1 of our text describes their spiritual condition. They are said to look to other gods and love flagons of wine. And among that thought, other gods, they looked to was the Canaanite god Baal. The worship of Baal and his consort Ashtaroth, it really involved acts so vile that I will not honor the flesh by describing them this morning. They were wicked. Suffice it to say that Israel was guilty of a great spiritual evil. While the people of Israel had no real love for God or his word or his worship, when a prophet showed up, they were very interested in his actions. That is why God often used the personal lives of the prophets to help illustrate his relationship with Israel. That is the case here in this book. God uses Hosea, his wife Gomer, and the children born into their relationship as a picture of his relationship with Israel. And through his family, God will reveal his love for his wayward people. And in Hosea's relationship with Gomer, we are allowed to see a wonderful portrait of the redemption we have in Christ Jesus. I want to take the verses that we read today and preach about, once again, the wonders of redeeming love. And I want you to notice the wonders that present themselves in this passage. First of all, I want you to see the wonder of a loving pursuit. There in verse number 1, once again, the Bible says this: "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." Once again, we're going to just do a little bit of review, and we're going to kind of go back the last couple of weeks and look at exactly what's being set up here. And I want you to notice with me what we've seen so far is Gomer's lifestyle. By the time we come to our text, Gomer is called an adulteress. Once again, we don't understand the reasoning or the purpose. We go back to week number 1. Why would God ask Hosea to marry a woman like Gomer? What's not specifically clear in the scriptures is, was she an adulteress at the time that God told Hosea to do that? Or did she become a harlot, a prostitute, over the course of their marriage? There's no simple answer to that. All we know is that by the time we get to chapter 3, from what we've seen in chapter 2, the Bible says, in fact, in Hosea 2:5, the Bible says this, going back to last week, "Their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them, have done so shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread, my water, my wool, my flax, mine oil, my drink." In other words, Gomer is a prostitute. By the time we get to our passage here today, that is abundantly clear. She committed adultery while she was with Hosea. Then she left him for another man. Now it appears that her lover is finished with her and has put her up for sale, according to chapter 3, verse 2. This glimpse into Gomer's lifestyle is a clear picture of what sin produces in every life it touches. A lifestyle of unrepentant sin may bring pleasure at the time, but eventually it leads to ruin, it leads to devastation, to destruction, and ultimately death. Sin always leaves its mark, and eventually, according to the Bible, it leads to hell. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 15, "The way of the transgressor is hard." By the way, what we need to understand about sin is it is alluring. As a youth pastor, I watched many years young people being tempted by sin. And this is what Satan wants us to see on the outside looking in. Everyone else is having the time of their life. Maybe as an adult, as a mature Christian, you're able to see exactly what the devil is doing. But I tell you what, young people have a hard time seeing that. All they see is the allurement of sin, and they don't understand the destruction that comes from the choices that they make. But I would also say this, although it's alluring to teenagers, and maybe you say, and I hope nobody ever says this in this church, "I've gotten beyond sin." Because I understand this, we will always be flesh, we will always be sinners in this life, and until the day that God calls us home, we will struggle with sin. But perhaps there comes a time in your life where you're a little more focused on God, and what a wonderful thing that is, amen? You're focused on God. The desires of the flesh don't seem to be there as much as they do because you're walking step by step with Christ. But I also understand this, not only do the young people struggle with allurement, but what we've seen over the last several decades is grown adults falling away because of the allurement of sin. How many of you have ever heard the term radium luminous? Radium luminous. For those of you that have a watch on your wrist, maybe it glows in the dark. That's what radium luminous is. I remember as a kid getting a watch, and that was the coolest thing. As long as it glows in the dark, that's all I wanted. And in fact, I remember, maybe some of you 90s babies, maybe 80s babies, remember as kids, in our bedroom we had stars that stuck to the ceiling. And when the light was on, they charged. And when you turned the light off, they would glow. Our kids don't know how wonderful we had it, do they? These were the things we looked forward to. Radium luminous is really a term that came onto the scene in 1917, and they were making a brand new watch, and for the first time, they were trying to invent a watch that would glow at night. And so in order for them to achieve this, they mixed glue and several other chemicals together, and this was a group of ladies, and they would get these women for 8 to 10 hours a day. They would paint this onto the face of these watches. What many people didn't realize is while these ladies were painting the face of these watches, the pens, the brushes that they had, they would put them in their mouth as they would use both hands, kind of like we do with pens and pencils at times when we need both of our hands. And what these ladies didn't realize, there was a problem that they were allowing into their life. The problem was these women would do it. They could not get the tip of the brush down there, so they would lick the tips of the brush every couple of minutes. And while they were doing that, they began to ingest radium luminous. And throughout the years, the term that was pinned to these women was they were the radium girls. Many of them, over time, died because of ingesting radium luminous. Do you understand that's exactly what sin does to our life? We ingest a little bit here or there, and we take on a little bit, and we think it's no big deal. But what we don't understand is little by little, we are killing ourselves. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And when we see the lifestyle of Gomer, it was a hard life once again. She chose to live in sin, and here she comes to the end. Now she's on the auction block, and no one loves her. That was where Gomer's lifestyle got her. But I want you to also notice Gomer's lust. Once again, this is just a little bit of review, and what's striking about the messages we've preached, you go back a few weeks ago, we talked about the names of the children, the births of the children, and what's striking about the three references to Gomer's pregnancies is the contrast between verse 3, verse 6, and verse 9. The Bible says in verse 3, "which conceived and bare him a son." The Bible's saying that Gomer conceived a son unto Hosea. What I pointed out to you a few weeks ago is the Bible does not say that about the other children. The Bible does not say that those children belong to Hosea. We conclude that the next two are not Hosea's kids. So Gomer was guilty of violating her marriage vows. Eventually, Gomer abandoned the family to pursue her lust for sin. And of course, Gomer's actions, once again, are a picture of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. They lusted after the gods, the Canaanites, and they abandoned the God of their fathers. Again, Gomer is just a picture of the lost sinner. And just like Gomer, those who are lost in their sins, they pursue their own lust and they care nothing about the God who loves them. And the Bible says in James 1:14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed and left to themselves." We understand this: the lost sinner will never seek God. There's a problem in our nation today. There's a problem in our people today, and that is this: we are seeking after our own lust. We see Gomer's lifestyle, we see Gomer's lust, but also we see Gomer's lover. I'm not talking about the men she paid. I'm referencing here the man she married. In spite of how she has hurt him, in spite of how she treated their children, in spite of how she has lived her life, Hosea still loves her. He is told in verse 1, "Go yet, love a woman." This phrase means show her again how much you love her. Then the Bible says that she is beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. This phrase simply means this: she is a woman who loves another man and is still guilty of adultery. And God is just telling Hosea, go show her how much you still love her. When my wife and I got married, we meant the vows that we said, till death do us part. I hope my wife knows that she can trust me, I can trust her. We're very open in our marriage about the things we struggle with and our tendencies, and we try to do the best we can to work at our marriage, because I don't want to be separated from my wife. I don't want to go through the whole in-law thing again. I'm quite happy with where I'm at. But I'll never forget, and I think we were watching the movie about the life of Hosea, and there are some movies out there that are really good, a little bit off of Scripture, but it helps paint a picture in your mind. And I'll never forget, my wife just put it very, very clearly for me early on in our marriage. She said it like this: if you ever cheat on me, I will kill you dead. Note taken. My wife and I never joke about divorce. My wife and I never tend to think that we'll cheat on each other. We are committed to our marriage, but that's not what we see in the life of Hosea. Hosea has been through all of this, really what I would call a nightmare of a marriage. What I would say is a nightmare of a marriage for Hosea is really a typical marriage, what we see today. There is so much unfaithfulness, there is so much untrust, nobody knows, can I trust one person or the other? It's just this long ring that goes round and round and never gets anywhere. And God tells Hosea, go and love her again. Once again, I've not been in that position, and I know people who have been there, and I don't even want to begin to try and understand what it's like to be in that position. But what I see in Scripture and what I see a picture of here is this awesome love of God for sinners. And did you know that no one had to tell God this morning to love you? He loved you before you were born. He loved you when you were an innocent child. He loved you when you chose sin over a relationship with Him. And He still loves you today. In fact, He always loved you. Nothing can make Him stop pursuing you. And that's the picture we see between Hosea and God, is Hosea is constantly pursuing his wife. She's cheated on him. She's lived an unfaithful life, an immoral life. She's thrown her kids to the side. And Hosea still goes after her, just the way that God goes after us when we walk away from Him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says it like this: God's love is a great love. This means it's a surpassing love. It's a love that knows no boundaries. It's an unconditional. It's timeless. It's self-sacrificing. It's a wonderful, beyond words that can describe. My friends, God loves you this morning. His love never ends. The Bible teaches us that God loves sinners. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't say God loves perfect people? Because none of us would make that list this morning. God loves sinners. And the only reason we love Him is because the Bible says He first loved us. The wonder of a loving pursuit. Thank God for a love that never quits, but pursues the sinner to the very end. We see the wonder of a loving pursuit, but I want you to see, secondly this morning, the wonder of a lavish purchase. Look there in verse number 2. The Bible says it like this: so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and half homer of barley. When Hosea finds Gomer, it appears that she has been sold into slavery. She has probably been sold as a prostitute. She is a far cry from the woman she was when she fell in love with her, when he fell in love with her and married her all those years before. And I want you to imagine the scene here. Hosea's really searching the country for Gomer. Why? Because God told him to go love her again. And there's one thing that I love about the book of Hosea. What we see in Hosea is his unqualified obedience. He's out looking, searching. Eventually, he finds her in a slave market, and she's for sale to the highest bidder. And when he sees her, he does not hate her. He does not turn away and abandon her to a life of sin and wickedness, though it must have broken his heart to see Gomer in that state. Hosea did what he had to do, and I want you to notice some particulars about Hosea's lavish purchase. First of all, we see Hosea's price. We're told that Hosea bought her for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and half homer of barley. The standard price, understand this morning, of a slave was 30 shekels of silver, according to Exodus 21:32. Evidently, Hosea does not possess that much money. So he pays half her price in cash, and the rest he pays in the cheapest of all grains, barley. Barley was a grain used by the very poor as food and by others to make feed for animals. This purchase cost Hosea more than his money. It also cost him his pride. Once again, you see the scene in your mind. There is an auction going on, and there is an item on the auction block, and there are all these people, and there probably is no doubt in my mind that there were men in that crowd who had been with Gomer, and there were women in that crowd who had been around Gomer and knew the type of person she was and knew the lifestyle that she lived. But Hosea set aside his pride, walked down with all that he had, and said, "I want to purchase this woman." What a picture. What a scene that we see in Hosea's actions. Once again, here they're a picture of what God has done for the lost. Like Gomer, the lost are slaves to their sin, but God, in his great grace, came into this world and gave himself a sacrifice for their sins. In fact, God gave more than 30 pieces of silver. He gave his very life, shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary to purchase a people unto himself. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's exactly how you and I were redeemed this morning. He willingly suffered the pain, the shame, the public humiliation, and even spiritual separation from God to redeem his people from their sins. Jesus Christ endured all of this so that he might make a lavish purchase and redeem his people from their slavery of sin. Not only do we see Hosea's price, but I want you to see Hosea's possession. Notice that the Bible says this, "So I bought her to me." We understand exactly what that means. Many of us have purchased things this last week, eggs for 10 bucks maybe. We understand what it means to make a purchase. Gomer already belonged to Hosea by virtue of their marriage. Understand that this morning. Now she is completely his because he has purchased her. She is already his because he has sacrificed everything to make her exclusively his. We talk about the names of people in the Bible. We talk about Hosea. Obviously, all of the kids that they had, there was a meaning behind them. But have you ever wondered what Gomer's name meant? Her name simply means this: completely. She was completely lost in her sins. Now she is completely loved, forgiven, and redeemed by grace. The same is true when God redeems his people. Amen. When God saves a sinner, that sinner becomes his possession. The Bible tells us we are not our own. We are bought with a price. What is that price? It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so we belong to Jesus Christ if we are Christians this morning. The Bible tells us in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Not only does God redeem the sinner, the relationship is far more intimate. God becomes that person's father, and by the way, this is an eternal transaction, going back to our opening verse, you don't ever have to wonder, will I lose my salvation? Once again, there's many people in this life that have made the statement, God has left me here. The Bible tells us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. If you're having problems experiencing the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ in your life, it's because you have chosen to walk away from God. The world is mad. The world hates God. The world hates Jesus Christ. They blame a lot of the issues and problems on Jesus Christ. But rather, how I view it is we need to turn to Jesus Christ to save us from a lot of our problems as a world this morning. That's exactly what we see in this story. If you stop and think about the price that God paid to redeem you, how, dear friend, can we turn our back on God? When you consider how much He loves you, what keeps you from coming to Him day after day, or what keeps you from coming to Him for your salvation, when you consider the price that Jesus paid, the shame He bore, the lengths that God has gone to make salvation possible, how can you not bow before Him this morning? If you ever think that you aren't worth much, just remember what God thinks of you. You are His, twice His. First, you're His because He made you. You are His by right of creation. And second, you're His because He bought you on the cross. He paid a price to redeem you this morning. You are His by right of redemption. I want you to notice lastly this morning, though, the wonder of a lasting purpose. We read the good story here. And it's just a wonderful picture of us lost in our sins. God is still pursuing us. He's loving us. He wants us. But what happens after we become children of God? Have you ever thought about that? It's really our main goal in life to pursue God, to worship Him. But many times, once we get saved, we kind of just throw the car in neutral and let it roll. Verse number 3, I want you to notice with me, the Bible says this, "And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee." Why did Hosea do this? One reason he did this was to obey the clear commandment of God once again. God gave him a command. By the way, when God speaks, we ought to listen. Amen, church? God gave Hosea a command. He obeyed. But another reason I think that Hosea did this was, once again, because he simply loved Gomer. I think that he loved Gomer. Hosea was wanting to do to make a difference in Gomer's life. And when he redeemed her, that's exactly what he did. Thus, it is with those who come to Jesus for salvation. When God saves a soul, He does it because He loves us. He also does it because He has a desire to deliver us from the bondage of our sins so that we are delivered to a life, a new life in Jesus Christ. And just read the book of Romans someday. The Bible gives us hope. There is hope for our sins. There are hope for those people that are living in addictions. There are hope for those people that struggle with mental illness. There is a hope to a new life, and it is found in Jesus Christ. But I want you to see, as we bring this to a close this morning, there is a new character. Let's talk about us after salvation now. What happens after we have been redeemed? You see, Hosea tells Gomer, "Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot." This really just implies that Hosea expects Gomer to be different. By the way, once Jesus Christ saved you from your sins, He expects us to be different. The woman Hosea is taking home, he's basically telling her, you're not to live like the woman that I bought off the auction block. You're not to go back to that life. Hosea tells her that her life will be different from this point forward. This is just, once again, what Jesus does for every soul he saves. He transforms them. The Bible calls them a new creature. Those who come to Jesus are born again, according to John chapter 3. You cannot meet Jesus and stay like you were. I want you all to take out your pen right now and write that phrase down. You cannot meet Jesus and stay like you were. Why? Because he's a life-changing Savior. We see that there is a new character, and when Hosea brought Gomer home, he wanted her to understand, you are going to be different from this point forward. You will no longer play the harlot. You are going to be faithful to me, and that's where he leads us to. Secondly, he wants her to understand, and Jesus wants us to understand this morning, there is a new commitment. Hosea says it like this, thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. This verse is full of meaning. Allow me to break it down for just a couple of moments here. There's two parts. First, Hosea is telling Gomer that he expects her to live a new life of chastity. For a long time, Gomer has been the object of lust. She has been a sexual tool. Men have used Gomer to gratify their wicked lust. Now that she has been redeemed, Hosea is bringing her home to heal. He is telling her that he is not bringing her home so that he can gratify his sexual lust with her, but that he is bringing her home so that now she can heal. He is telling her that he will not force himself upon her. He will not demand the rights of a husband. He is telling her that she is going to be on probation for a period of time, and during that time, they will not come together physically. Once again, he is showing Gomer that he loves her. Hosea is giving her time to heal. As we've mentioned, he is going to create a safe environment in which she feels loved, cherished, and honored. And my dear friend, that's exactly what God does for us. Many people see the allurement of sin. They see the friendships that many people have made with the world, and really, they see the friendships that people have made with Satan. Hollywood tends to make a big joke about this. And I don't know how much you keep up with the media, but there's so many things that go on, I tend to just stay away from public TV anymore. There are a lot of satanic rituals that are taking place in front of our kids on live TV. They're basically coming out and saying, Satan is my friend. What they won't show you is that when sin has had its way, according to the Bible, and their life, basically like we talked about the prodigal, when they've spent all and they've wasted all of it on riotous living, what they will not show you is that Satan is not there to comfort them. When God changes us, he wants us to heal. He wants us to understand there is a new way of life. There is a new purpose for you as a Christian. You and I do not have to be the same. Somebody should say amen. He's again showing Gomer that he loves her. Hosea is giving her time to heal, and he's creating the safe environment. That's exactly what God does for you and I this morning. But secondly, Hosea wants Gomer to know that her days of loose living have forever ended. She is not to be for another man, as he said. Her redemption and the love of her husband are not to be taken lightly. He has paid a high price to redeem her, and she is to respect that because she belongs to Hosea and not to another man. This is a picture of what we have in our salvation as Christians. God does not save us so that he might gratify some personal passion. He saves us to deliver us this morning and to give us a new life in Jesus, but he expects that we will be his alone until he calls us home to heaven. By the way, he has every right to make that claim on our lives because, once again, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. In other words, we are not to take what the Lord has done for us lightly. We are to honor him by the lives that we live. And there is within the heart of every child of God a desire to live for the Lord who saved them. And when it dawns on us where we were because of our sins, where we were headed because of our sins, and what God has done for us in saving us, there will be a pulling his direction. And what we will love is him because he first loved us. There's been times in my life where I've thought, why can't I get over this sin? And there's been times in my life where I feel my heart being pulled closer and closer to God. And like I said earlier, just because God has redeemed me and forgiven me of my sins, and I believe 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That is written to God's children, to us as Christians. When we stumble, when we fall, I believe God will forgive us. But that does not mean that we go back to the same life that God saved us from. That does not mean that we abuse the grace that Jesus Christ has bestowed upon our life. We love him because he first loved us. And Hosea was just letting us know, lastly, there is a new companion. Once again, Satan is not going to be our companion. The world tries to paint it up that he's our best friend. Many celebrities have come out and said that they sold their soul to the devil for fame and success. And boy, let me tell you, the hard life that they live, the media never shows that. How many celebrities die before they turn 40, 50 years of age because of substance abuse? It's not only our celebrities, but now during COVID, suicide was at an all-time high amongst teenagers. The world is in a bad spot. The world thinks that Satan is their companion, and yet the devil is nowhere to be found in their life. But God is still pursuing us, and we see a new companion. Once again, I would imagine that when Hosea sacrificed his money, his time, his dignity to purchase Gomer, she began to see him through different eyes. Evidently, she had grown tired of their relationship and she abandoned their home. Now he has proven his love for her, and no doubt she has a new love for him. But there is no record after this moment of any discord in the life of Hosea and Gomer. Their marriage has been restored. Their family has been reunited. And what we see here then is a picture of absolute commitment on the part of both the husband and the wife. Thus it is with those who know Jesus. Once again, they love him because he first loved them. Thus they have a desire to live for him, but they also know that he is dependable and can be trusted to keep his word and to never leave them nor forsake them. And I want you to understand this morning, church, when God saves us, he forever joins himself to us in a relationship that will never end. I took off without my wedding ring this morning, babe. Usually when I don't wear my wedding ring, my kids are always trying to tell me that you're no longer married to mom. And I tell them, well, if it was that easy, no, I'm just kidding. I just let them know it's just a symbol. And what mommy and I have is a forever relationship. When you come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a forever relationship. Years ago, a man by the name of A.J. Gordon was pastoring a church in Boston. He met a young boy in front of the sanctuary carrying a rusty cage in which several birds fluttered nervously. Gordon inquired. He said, "Son, where did you get those birds?" The boy said, "I trapped them out in the field." Gordon said, "What are you going to do with them?" He said, "I'm going to play with them, and then I guess I'll just feed them to an old cat that we have at home." When Gordon offered to buy them, the lad exclaimed, "Mister, you don't want them. They're just little old wild birds and can't sing very well." Gordon replied, I'll give you $2 for the cage and the birds. The little boy said, okay, it's a deal, but you're making a bad deal, mister. The exchange was made, and the boy went away whistling, happy with his shiny coins, and Gordon walked around to the back of the church property. He opened the door of the small wire coop and let the struggling creature soar into the blue. The next Sunday, he took the empty cage into the pulpit and used it to illustrate a sermon about Christ coming to seek and to save the lost. Paying for them with his own precious blood, that boy told me the birds were not songbirds, he said. But when I released them, it seemed to me that they were singing, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. You and I have been held captive to our sin for far too long. But Christ has purchased our pardon and set us at liberty. And you have more value than many sparrows. When a person has a life-changing experience, he will want to sing, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.
Once again, thank you for listening. If you have any other questions or would like to contact a member of our staff, feel free to call us at 970-353-7635.